Welcome. You are listening to the Smoky Acres podcast. I'm your host, Charlie, and this is the podcast about my imperfect journey to a homestead lifestyle and lowering my environmental footprint. Today, I'm recording in my porch area, which is a new spot for me to be able to hang out in. We finally started tackling this room to make it a usable space. Since we've moved in, it's really just been storage. It has our future kitchen cabinets stored in here until we tackle that project. And I have my planting table and soil and all of that stored in here. So it's kind of where I sprout all my seedlings in the spring. But I've just been dreaming of the day that we get furniture in here. It's organized. We can touch up all the paint and everything and just have it be this beautiful space with so much natural light, and we've finally started tackling it a little bit, so I'm really excited to get to sit in here today. It's been my new favorite spot. I spent all my days off just hanging out in here, getting things done. I got this super cute set of rattan couches, like a full-size couch and a little love seat and a side table. And they're so adorable. The cushions are kind of in rough shape. They definitely need some touch-ups or to be reupholstered. But overall, they're in great shape and they're sitting in my porch and I have animals. So if the cushions aren't in perfect condition, it's almost better because then I don't feel so bad when my dog jumps up on there with muddy paws. But they're super cute and I'm really excited to have a spot to hang out and sit in here. Yesterday, it's kind of a mess right now in here, honestly, but that's because yesterday, Kyle, but I mostly just assisted, held something in place when he needed me to. I didn't really do much of the work. He did most of the work. Installed a storm door to replace the old door that leads outside from the porch area, and it just lets in so much more natural light, and just to have a modern door that works well on this porch is such a step in the right direction. It still needs a lot of work. The floors, I discovered yesterday because I was like, there's so much paint on these floors. I just test sanded one spot. Don't worry, I did wear a mask in case it's lead paint. But I test sanded one area and there was 5 layers of paint. It's this grayish blue, then it's a gold, or no, then it's a red, then it's a gold, then it's a darker red, and then it's a green before you get down to the actual wood. And underneath this wood, it's cedar, so it's pretty and I'm excited. We need a different sander in order to tackle all the floors, but I'm excited to get these floors sanded down and then just put a nice stain or something over the top of it just to seal it and have just a natural wood grain. The ceiling also needs to have the paint be stripped or sanded. It's peeling and flaking in some spots. And then the actual walls in here, it looks like they painted it to sell it, but you can see this light blue, almost a robin's egg blue color that is peeking through the white. They did not do a great job at painting this room. So it's kind of a bluish white in here. Definitely need some love. These windows are really old, but it's such a beautiful space and I have so many ideas for it. I'm just really excited that I get to hang out in here today. And I don't really know why I keep switching where I'm going to be recording. I had it set up in our guest bedroom. There's a desk in there that I had all set up with all my equipment and it's a good spot. There's not as much noise, yet I still decide to just record wherever I feel like sitting. Might make for some interesting background noises, and it takes me forever to get set up in a spot where it's comfortable and the recording can hear me or the microphone can hear me. But I don't know, I think it's worth it. It makes for a better environment to be able to sit in a spot that I'm really enjoying right now. And I can see my makeshift fenced in little hoop house thing out there with my planter boxes, and my morning glory vine has started crawling up the side and that looks gorgeous, and I'm starting to get tomatoes and peppers and everything out there. I've kind of let it run wild. I haven't been really on top of weeding or stopping things from going to seed. I'm just kind of letting things take their course and just to see how things turn out. And I don't know, I'm kind of a lazy gardener. I'll weed when I need to, but mostly I'm like, if it's gonna work, it's gonna work. And I have a job plus an apprenticeship and animals and other things that I'm worrying about, so it's definitely not like a full-time thing for me. I'm kind of a lazy gardener. Hopefully some of you can relate. And then I'm also recording kind of early. It's Tuesday today. I worked this morning but I have a lot of stuff to get done this week. I think I have 2 more shifts at Caribou, plus stuff to do at the shop. And then I'm finishing up all the final preparations for one of my best friend's bachelorette party this weekend. I'm super lucky that I get to be her maid of honor in her wedding. And we are not letting Corona take us down when it comes to her wedding plans. So we decided to still have our bachelorette party, and that's this weekend. We did change the plans quite a bit, though. Instead of, we were going to do like a pedal pub and then go out to dinner and just go between different bars and stuff in Minneapolis, but that's obviously not the smartest option right now. So her family just got a cabin for the summer. Like, they bought a cabin this summer. And we're gonna host her bachelorette party there, and there's gonna be a handful of us girls, and I have a bunch of games in store and food from Duluth Grill. I went and bought all the alcohol yesterday, and I've never spent so much money on alcohol. It was ridiculous. But I also got these Castle Danger cream ales, which is one of my favorite, and went to Sam's Club to get the alcohol, and they're such a good deal there. So a little added bonus. But yeah, so I'm recording early because I will be gone Friday, Saturday, Sunday for her bachelorette party, and it's about 2.5 hours away, so I didn't want to have to worry about this Monday's episode. For today's episode, I just wanted to come on here and talk about this past weekend. So the weekend of like the 18th, 19th, because Kyle and I decided to go camping, and we had a very interesting weekend. If you follow the Smoky Acre Farm Instagram or my personal Instagram, you saw videos that Kyle and I were posting and photos of this crazy storm that we went through. And how we survived, I think, is by pure luck. I know that sounds really dramatic. There would have been like a real good chance that a tree could have fallen right on our tent, and that doesn't seem like a very likelihood of surviving. So I think we got really lucky. Being that we're both very experienced campers, I think we both left feeling a little stupid. So I just wanted to talk about our experience out camping and kind of touch on some of those feelings that I'm having about it. So it was Saturday, and we had kind of talked about going camping in Jay Cook earlier that week because I had Sunday Monday off and he also had Sunday Monday off. And when I work on Saturdays, I only work until 1 p.m. because I'll open and that shift starts at 5, so a full 8-hour day goes until 1. That's plenty of time. We can get to a campsite and be there for 2 nights and like have a good weekend camping. So we had talked about doing that, but then Jay Cook was completely booked. Like, all their sites were completely booked. So we kind of took it off the table. We have plenty of projects that we can get done around here, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But I went to work on Saturday at 5, and my day started out pretty good. Like, my shift was going as it should be. I usually really like being the MOD or the manager on duty because I think I just naturally lead in that environment. So shift was going good. Everything was fine. And then our whole entire system decided to crash. I'm talking, this is a service industry nightmare. It was one of the worst shifts and working experiences ever. And it wasn't other service industry shifts that I've had that have been really bad. Those shifts tend to be more customer-based when you just have people who don't have sympathy for people who work in the industry. And so that typically tends to be those really awful shifts, or it just gets really busy and you're overwhelmed and you can't manage how many things are going on. It wasn't like that. This was completely different because it was completely out of my control and I couldn't walk away from it either. So it started with our, like, the perks check-in. So if you are familiar with Caribou, you can have a perks account. You get 2 points for every dollar you spend. You get free beverages, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, that crashed. So first, we're not able to check people into perks. People do not like that. They want to make sure that they get their perks, that that adds up to the free drink, and if the system crashes, there's no way that I can check them in. I can print them off a receipt and they can call to get their points added, which is typically what we just tell people. But again, no one is a fan of that option. So that crashes. A little annoying. Usually it will come back up. But then cards, like debit and credit cards, wouldn't go through. They would just say processing, processing, and then if you tried to, like, exit and go back in, it would say that that check was busy, so it wouldn't let you open it because it was trying to process the card. And then things just kept on crashing, and we would have cards not going through, and then a lot of them were going through, but it'd take 10, 15 minutes, which you don't have 10, 15 minutes when someone's going through a drive-through. The standard is that someone should be through a drive-through in 3 minutes. And if it takes longer than that, we get docked for it. So we're trying to get people through the drive-thru. We're asking people to pay in cash. And most people don't have cash. We're trying to process these cards and they're looking like they're going through. And then all of a sudden, the whole computer systems in general just start crashing. Like, they just go completely black. And when that happens, they would reboot. But then the checks that were in the middle of processing were, those card numbers were all lost, but those people are already gone. And then the computers would crash again, and this time they stayed down. When it went to, we tried to, like, reboot it back up, it said that it could not connect to a server and we could not get a hold of IT. And this, usually if you have a system crash of some sort, it lasts maybe 15-20 minutes, but this was a good over an hour, which doesn't seem that long, but when you are getting cars through the drive-through where you have a line backed up out of your parking lot, and every 3 minutes you have a new car going through the full thing, I'm on the headset every 30 seconds maybe in between orders trying to explain this to people, trying to figure out a solution. At one point, we just had to tell people to drive on through our drive-thru because we couldn't do anything. And then all those checks that I lost those card numbers for, I had to just free off those beverages because no one's going to pay for them. So it was just a living nightmare. And I don't want... This story is already going on too long. And I know if anyone who's listening to this is in the service industry, they'll probably, like, feel that anxiety, and I don't want to give people that service industry anxiety because it is not a fun time. All of that to say, when I got home, I obviously wasn't in a good mood, and I was like, Kyle, we should just, can we go camping? Like, we had talked about going camping. Let's just go camping. We know of this one campsite up in the Island Lake area. And it's just a beautiful campsite, and we've been there multiple times just out hiking and with friends and stuff, but we actually haven't stayed there before. But there's never any people up there, so we decided, okay, that'd be the perfect spot. We got everything set up. We got our canoe put up on top of the truck, too, and we have our fishing licenses, and we're gonna fish, and we're gonna eat fish for dinner, and forage for mushrooms, and camp in a tent, and have a fire, and just, like, have a great weekend. And we were planning on staying both Saturday and Sunday night. Now, we were aware that there was supposed to be some not-so-great weather happening. We had heard people talk about storms. I was seeing some things on Facebook and on the news. And Friday night, there was a thunderstorm, and it was bad. Like, it woke me up at 1 in the morning, and I couldn't go back to sleep because the lightning was so bright. And I saw tons of things all over the place about how awful that storm was. So I'm like, okay, they said storms this weekend. This must have been the peak of it, thinking we'll be able to handle anything else. Like, if it's less than that, then it will be no big deal. And Kyle and I were kind of excited about sleeping in a tent during a small storm. There's something really soothing about sleeping in a tent when it's raining. And so we were like, okay, cool. Like, a little rain, never hurt anything. We get out there and we're having a good night and just like, oh, this is so great. I'm just loving life. We're sitting on the water. Jasper's swimming. We're having a grand old time. And we see that the weather's starting to shift. The wind is starting to pick up a little bit. We see these clouds rolling in. We can watch the lightning, but the storm's still off in the distance. And it is moving pretty quickly, but it's nothing we have to worry about yet. And we're just really fascinated with just watching this storm come in. And then it starts to rain a little bit. So we crawl into the tent, thinking that we're just gonna hang out, maybe drink a beer, play a couple games of cribbage, just chill out in the tent while it storms, and then go to bed. All of a sudden, it goes 0 to 60, and I mean literally 60. 60 mile per hour winds in a matter of seconds. I am sitting in the corner wall area of our tent on the side that the wind is coming from, and I'm having to hold down the tent with my body weight. I have both dogs cuddled underneath me because those sad puppies are all scared, and the wall is like blowing up against me, and it feels like an actual human being is like leaning against my back and head, like trying to push me over. Our tent wanted to blow away, and the rain is just pelting our tent like crazy, and I'm just looking at Kyle. We can hear some, like, cracking of trees, and we're just hanging on the tent, and I'm looking at him, and we're like, we're gonna die. Holy crap. It was so intense. We start talking about, like, okay, what's our game plan? Put your shoes back on. Put on your rain jacket. What are our essentials? We put our essential items in this Patagonia bag of ours that's waterproof and is can be a backpack or a duffel bag. Put our essential items. We get a leash on Jasper. The plan is like, okay, if this is getting worse, we need to get out of here. The truck is only maybe like an eighth of a mile away. So I'll grab the dogs, he'll grab the bag, and we'll run for it because we'll be safer in the truck. So we get all that packed up, and then we're starting to feel our tent, and underneath our tent, we're like, it feels like a waterbed in here. And I unzip the tent a little bit and look outside, and there's a good 2 inches of standing water, and I can see it building outside our rainfall, or outside the rainfly, and it's slowly starting to seep in under our tent. And the wind is so harsh that there's like a little vent in the top of our tent that we had closed, but there's just rain flying in through this vent, and we're like, okay, we're clearly not going to be able to sleep in a tent if it's completely flooded. So we decided to make the run for it. And I'm holding Nika and have Jasper on a leash. And Kyle's wearing the Patagonia bag with our essential items. And we just book it. And oh my gosh, the amount of rain. The whole trail was like a solid stream. Good 4 inches, well above my ankles. I had crappy flip-flops on. I almost lost my flip-flops multiple times just trying to, like, run through this water. It's muddy. We're being pelted. At one point, Kyle's like, that kind of felt like hail. And we get back to the truck, and there was other people camping, and they were already at their vehicle, and they had, I believe, like, 2 small children with them. And they're like, oh, were you waiting it out in the tent? And we're like, we could not do it anymore. At this point, by the time we get back to the truck, the rain actually starts to die down quite a bit, and it's really windy, but we're like, okay, we just need to be somewhere dry right now, and our tent is probably gone. So we get in the truck, and we turn on NPR, and there's like a weather update that says there's 60-mile-per-hour winds, half-dollar-size hail, and lots of reports of big fallen trees in the Island Lake area, where we happen to be. Feels so dumb. Like, how do we choose tonight to go camping? Luckily, like, we had a plan, an escape route, but it just happened so quickly. It wasn't like it was a long storm that built up over time. It just kept on getting worse. Like, it went from being like, oh, look at it, thunderstorm coming, to almost blowing us away. Quite literally. We're sitting there. We decide to play a game of cribbage in the truck because that was one of our essential items that we threw in our Patagonia bag. So we're playing a game of cribbage and just hanging out, and we're completely soaked. I'm just exhausted. Like, I had already had a day, let me remind you. Like, I was up at 4 a.m. I had a crazy work shift. I just wanted to have a relaxing night camping out in a tent. I get served this storm, and I was just exhausted. So Kyle's like, okay, I'm gonna go. Everything seemed to be calm, so he's like, I'm gonna go check out our campsite and our tent and see how everything looks. And I fell asleep. And when he got back, I was like, oh gosh, how long have you been gone? He goes, about 10 minutes. And I swear it felt like over an hour. But I think just, it was so much to take in. And my body was just like, go to sleep. But he said that our tent actually seemed pretty dry, and everything, like all the water that had flooded our whole entire campsite had mostly soaked into the ground. So we decided we'd actually be more comfortable sleeping in our tent than trying to sleep in the truck, especially with two dogs. So we walked back to our campsite as our camping neighbors were bringing back the rest of their stuff so they could get out of there, which is maybe the smart option. But according to the weather radar, everything was supposed to be passing by 8:45, and we were like no longer in the storm zone. So, and we had had a couple beers, so we're like, we're not driving anywhere tonight. We might as well go sleep in a tent where it's going to be more comfortable. And I am so thankful for our newer REI tent because it was relatively dry. For the amount of water that we had coming in to our campsite and like flying through the air vent and everything, our tent was pretty dry. We didn't have the most comfortable night sleeping, but we made it through the night. And the next day, I'm walking around and there's this little trail that like connects our campsite to the next one. You can't even see the next one, but since the neighbors were gone, I was like, oh, I kind of wanted to see what their site looks like. And I go to walk that way, and this huge tree has fallen. I mean, it's a pretty big tree, and it's taken its whole entire root system with it, and with that, a bunch of other smaller trees. And so that tree's down. And I go in around to the other side, and this root system is a good 6 feet high. And then I look over, and there's another tree with an even bigger root system that had fallen over. And that one had, like, about 5 or 6 trees down. And that set of trees that had fallen was real close, like, maybe 5 feet from our neighbors, like, where they would have had their tent, like, the main tent site at their campsite. And there was another smaller tree that had fallen right through the middle of their campsite. And you go and you look up at these pines, too. They're, like, really tall and skinny, and they were all perfectly straight. Now you have some that are completely curved. We had branches and stuff falling off of trees. Some of the tops of the trees were broken off. It honestly was insane, and it's a miracle that one of the small, they're not small. They're just, like, skinnier trees, I guess, but they're very tall. It's a miracle that one of them did not crush us in our tent, or that we didn't have any fall in our campsite. We were truly so lucky that that didn't happen to us. And it was just a surreal experience to have that happen maybe 20 feet from our campsite. And I'll post those photos in, like, an actual post. Because I know we had them in our story, but I'll post an actual post with this episode of the fallen trees and all of that and our camping photos and everything. So if you want to see what I'm talking about, I really, like, am not exaggerating. I know it probably sounds so dramatic right now, but it was just, it was a very dramatic experience. But besides finding all those fallen trees around our campsite, I also walked out next to the lake, which the lake had risen quite a bit. And I walk out there and I hear loons and the sun is shining on this beautiful lake. And despite Mother Nature coming to humble us so greatly, I was still so grateful to be out in nature in that moment and to wake up to such a beautiful day. You have to put things into perspective a little bit too, because although I had a scary camping experience, because I've camped so much, I know that that isn't the normal. And I also have to think about, okay, would I rather have had maybe a rough night sleeping to wake up to this beautiful lake view and the sound of loons and the sun shining, to have a cup of coffee and just, like, watch the water? Or would I rather be, like, making someone's vanilla white mocha this morning and having them complain that it wasn't hot enough? Obviously, one sounds a lot better. So I just have to put things into perspective. I think it was a very humbling experience for Kyle and I. I would say we're pretty experienced campers, like, or outdoors people. I don't know, however you want to put it. But we both have a lot of experience out in the woods. He has grown up outside and camping and canoeing and kayaking and backpacking and all everything. And since I was super young, I was going out to our hunting shack with my grandpa, and starting at the age of 7, I was going on canoe trips up in Quetico Provincial Park with him. And, I mean, that's, like, really roughing it, if you want to call it that. It's not just a pull-in campsite where you have everything there. Like, you're carrying everything on your back, you're canoeing, you're portaging between sites, you eat what you bring, and usually that's not a whole lot because you don't want your packs to be super heavy. So it's a little more challenging, but those have always been my favorite memories growing up. I love those, and when I don't have enough of that in my life, I definitely notice I crave those kind of experiences. And I'm super lucky to have a grandpa that showed that to me and taught me so many valuable skills and brought me out into the woods and taught me how to just turn my mind off and just listen to nature around me and hear what it was telling me and just observe things, and some real, like, survival skills too. I'm lucky to have that experience, and I often think because I grew up in nature, I forget the power of nature a little bit. So it is good every once in a while for nature to throw a giant storm in your direction and remind you that it is way more powerful than you. You can't mess around with Mother Nature, that's for sure. So it definitely was an experience, and I do feel a little stupid for having gone out camping when there were storm warnings. So I think if there's any sort of takeaway from this episode, is to check the radar before you go camping, kids. Overall, though, I still had a good weekend, and I was happy to get outside and go camping and spend some time with Kyle and the dogs. We did come home a day early because the winds were super strong, and we did not want to press our luck with trying to spend another night there, because then we really would have been idiots. So we came home and decided to tackle this project, which was replacing this door. See, it all comes full circle. I have a plan. There is some structure to this podcast. But yeah, I just wanted to come on here and kind of talk about that experience just because it was humbling, and I know that some people were maybe curious about the full story after posting those photos. I've had a lot of people be like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're okay, and oh, were you scared and everything? And yes, I was definitely scared. Very grateful that we are okay. We'll make smarter choices in the future. But you also can't predict Mother Nature at all. Like, even if there wouldn't have been storm warnings, we could have had a storm anyways, you know? Or winds could have just picked up. Or maybe there's a tree that looks healthy but isn't, and it just decides to fall. Or a bear walks upon your camp. There's so many things that are out of your control when you're out in nature. But I also think that that is part of the excitement of it. I love a challenge, especially when it comes to survival skills. So I'm always up for that sort of challenge, and I like being tested in that kind of way. I also don't want this story to discourage people from camping if you are not an experienced camper. I mean, there's so many ways that you can go camping. You don't have to throw a single backpack on your back and, like, go hike into the mountains and live for a month. You can also just pull up at J. Cook in your car with your little propane grill and your air mattress and bring steaks and beer and the whole works and have a great time that way. I just really think it's important to spend time in nature and get reconnected. It put things into perspective for me when it came to the stressors of my job, and it really just was a good experience overall and very refreshing. I am looking forward to having more camping experiences this summer that aren't as stressful, that I can actually relax on a little bit. Despite crazy weather situations, I do encourage everyone to get outside and enjoy nature and explore the wilderness around you. It really is so important for not only your physical health, but really for your mental health. But yeah, I think that's really all that I have to talk about today. So for next week's episode, I haven't really decided yet. I have been putting information together for a summer foraging episode. Like, I did that spring foraging one, and I wanted to touch on some summer things. Some of them have passed, and more are more like fall ones. So I might do like a summer fall foraging because they kind of go hand in hand. But I don't know if that's going to be next week. So I don't want to promise anything. I haven't made any final decisions, so you'll just have to let it be a surprise and wait and see what I decide to talk about next week. Like I said, I will post those photos on Instagram, so you can hop on over to Smoky Acre Farm to check out photos of our camping trip. Also, be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast on whatever streaming service you're on. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, I would absolutely love it if you left me a review on there. It is super helpful with getting people to be able to discover this podcast a little bit easier, and I always appreciate the feedback. I hope you all have a great rest of your Monday and the rest of your week, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.